Or as they say in Britain, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read to you from verse 1 through verse 11. It goes like this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, or some of your Bibles say miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages, you could say there, and still to another the interpretation of tongues or interpretation of those languages. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Would you pray with me? Lord, I believe that You want to stir us up, that You want to make us more expectant and more useful, both when we gather together here and when we disperse to everywhere else that we go. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm counting on You taking this time that we have together this morning, and that You would give us a new vision, a bigger expectation, more faith, more. I pray, Lord, that You would come and work in this place, and that You would just start with the words that I give, but that You would have Your way in the fullest possible manner. I pray this, Jesus, in Your name. Amen. Have you ever experienced being used by God in the life of someone else? Have you ever experienced that before? Being used by God, so that's not very many of you. You haven't been used by God. How many of you felt that you've been used by God in the life of somebody else? All right, so that's most of you in this place. You know what it feels like to have that sense that you're the hand, I mean, sorry, you're the glove on the hand of God. That when you came into a situation, you provided something for a person that God was really working through you. And that there's something so powerful about that, so wonderful about that, it's almost addicting. It feels as though you're breathing pure oxygen, that you're so stimulated. It's like, can we do this some more? I remember the first time that I prayed for a woman, and in this particular case, she had really, really bad menstrual cramps, and I prayed for her, and the cramps left immediately. And she looked up at me like, what just happened? And I look back at her, I'm like, I have no idea, but I've got the power, you know, kind of thing. But it was incredible. I was like, I want to do this some more, but I can't do that at will or on call. But I have been designed, just like you, to be a glove on the hand of God, to make a difference in other people's lives. That's at the heart of what's going on here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, is that we've been designed by God, redeemed by God, to be able to be useful to Him so that He makes Himself known through you and through me, but especially when we're together and gathered as a church. This is God's design, and it's a very good design. Now, where we're going with this message is where the passage is going to take us. That each time we gather together, God's Spirit shows up. He shows up. He comes here. And He wants to use each of us, to reveal something of God's fullness in our midst. The Spirit in our midst, expressed through us. That's what the passage is actually saying. Now, what I want you to get out of this, and the reason why I would be preaching this, isn't to hear myself talk. What I believe that God wants from us is, firstly, He wants us to ask Him to use us to bless and to build up others, using the spiritual gifts that are listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That we would be used for that, and that we would come to church, we would come to any meeting where God's people gather, and pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit, and simply jump into whatever God is doing and however God wants us to be useful to Him. That's going to be different every single time, because the Spirit just never does anything the same twice. But He loves using us for His purposes. And I'm calling you, by preaching about this, to jump in. Last thing before I go on in terms of explaining some of these things is, I believe that there is, in the body of Christ in America, a lot of these things simply are not happening in our churches. And we've got a lot of spiritual gifts teaching that is basically built around trying to help us stay sort of in that place where not a lot of things are happening. But the passage that we just read is challenging us to a higher level, to a broader level of activity of God, and us coming, rising up to that level rather than trying to bring God down to our level of inactivity. And so the Lord says in this passage quite simply that all of us are to be players in this game. So in some senses, you're going to have to do what Yoda said, you must unlearn what you have learned. That is to say that you've not just been given one thing by God to contribute to the body of Christ. That's not what's being said in this passage. It's saying that a lot more is being given to you if you're available and if you're ready. Now, one other caveat or assumption that I'm making here is that this is a passage aimed at people who believe in Jesus, that have put their trust in Him. So when you put your trust in Him, you are born again. You have your sins forgiven. And now you're in a relationship with God. And this is part of working out that relationship with God. This isn't just something that anybody can do on the street. This is the business of the children of God. And anyone who has put their trust in Jesus has this available to them. All of these things are available to you right now. Now, there are four primary texts in the New Testament that talk about about spiritual gifts, although they are not, as any one of them is conclusive in terms of all about spiritual gifts. None of them say that. Actually, all of them are addressing particular problems that particular churches have. So the one that we're looking at here, dealing with the manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, is by far the biggest addressing of this in the New Testament. Then secondly, you've got on the left the grace gifts that are talked about in Romans chapter 12, which is a significantly smaller group of text. And then Ephesians 4, talking about the five people who are gifts to the church, who are equippers, that is, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And in some way, those people are gifts to the body of Christ to equip the church to get going and doing the work of the ministry. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about us being good stewards of the grace and the gifts that God gives us. So God is giving these gifts, and each one of these passages talks a little bit about it, but none of them talks in an all-inclusive way. They are, if you will, a set of Polaroids that describe how God can and do and does work. I don't believe that the gifts list here is all-inclusive. In fact, Paul doesn't even try to make it all-inclusive, and so he talks about it in different ways at different times. Having said all that, let's get back into the passage. Now, I'll read this to you and then make some comments, and I hope that this will make sense. Verse 1 says, now about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, that's what most of your translations say. The word there in the Greek, and I'm not trying to showboat on this, but it actually doesn't say gifts there. It says simply pneuma, that is spirit, pneumatikon, pneumatikos, and basically means about the things of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. And the translation is a sort of a back read. Spiritual gifts is a back read from everything that comes after it. It's not unfair, but I don't think that it is exactly covering the biggest umbrella. And I think that Paul is saying to us from this, that Paul wants to say, let me tell you what is of the Spirit and how this works. And then he goes into using a lot of grace gift kinds of language, but that particular word isn't. So it goes like this. Now, about things of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, these are in your BC days, your before Christ days, somehow or another, you were influenced and led to mute idols, to these things that don't talk. You were led to them. Therefore, or in light of this, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, first thing to say that we need to note about this whole thing is that chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians are all about correcting the saints. The Corinthians have got some real goofy ideas in terms of spirituality. They're very much like Americans. Right? They're all into their individual stuff, and a lot of the discussion, as we'll see as we go through the passage, it pertains to the gift of tongues being used, misunderstood, and abused. And Paul doesn't say, don't do it. He said, let me give you a clue about how this works. And so, but that's at issue. And basically it goes something like this. Paul is addressing the sort of thought process, I don't need you. I've got the Spirit thing all going on myself. I talk in tongues. I'm speaking with the angels. And all these things are being addressed in those three chapters. And Paul's correction is basically this. It isn't about you. None of this is about you. It's not about your sense of spirituality. It's about blessing others and revealing Jesus. It's about blessing others and God becoming more real and more substantive in the midst of the church gathered. So your Bibles would say, as I said before, a lot of your Bibles would say gifts of the Spirit, but Paul's trying to say, I want to help you understand what spiritual really means. Spiritual for the Apostle Paul means always of the Spirit, whatever is of God's Spirit. So he's starting to define what that looks like. Now, the Corinthians have a fairly straightforward kind of a history for them. If you've read any of the ancient material regarding Corinth, this ancient city of Corinth, you know that it's an occult sort of haven. All kinds of foreign religions and different kind of things are going on. And they're used to actually going to temples and different things like that and having people in an ecstatic state prophesying, speaking by a spirit, and saying all kinds of different things. So they're used to people being inspired and speaking. And Paul is saying, let's just separate the way that these things are being inspired and what's being spoken. And so out from the get-go, Paul addresses kind of how prophecy works in this. And he says that when someone is speaking by God, they're prophesying, and no one prophesying that's being prompted by the Spirit is going to say Jesus is cursed. Be cursed. They're simply not. That's something that you can expect is never going to happen. What's he saying? He's saying that you'll know that someone's prophesying is from God by its content. Think for a moment. Nobody, and he's trying to get them to think, no one speaking by the Spirit is going to say these things that are contrary to the things that God has revealed. And so, and this is something that you and I can count on, that we can count on if somebody prophesies that they're going to, if they're saying something that's in disagreement with what the Word of God says, or that it doesn't exalt Jesus, then we're just going to dismiss it. Does that make sense? We're going to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I remember a friend of mine was talking about years ago about a person who was trying to learn how to prophesy, and they said something along these lines. Oh, my people, I know that you're down and depressed, says the Lord. I get that way sometimes myself. Gong, you know, that's not it, right? That's because God doesn't get down and depressed. And so we would say, by its content, that it's not a prophetic word from the Spirit. Does that make sense? And so we know that if somebody prophesies something that is not in agreement with God's written word, we evaluate things on that. And Scripture tells us to test these things, to hold to what's good and reject what isn't. That makes sense? So again, pretty pragmatic on Paul's part, but it's very helpful for us to know that these things, you know, that it's the Spirit of God. He says certain things that are in agreement with the word and that draw us to Jesus, that draw us in Jesus' direction. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord. And what he's not saying is, you can't say these words. I mean, we have at Easter every year, you know, we have a large group. The place will be packed for a couple of services. And we'll sing these songs that have proclamations, Jesus is Lord. And there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and they'll say those things. So you can say the words, Jesus is Lord, and completely be clueless and just be in a church and just say the things that church people say. But the Spirit of God, who awakens the heart of a person to say and to make the declaration, Jesus is Lord, and that actually means something. So Paul says the Spirit births a certain sort of a thing and doesn't birth another kind of a thing. That makes sense so far. Then he gets into drilling down a little bit deeper into what's going on when the Spirit comes. And he says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. And for those of you who care about Greek words and things like that, this is the word charismata. That is charis or grace. And probably the best translation of that, if we actually just took it in straight from the language, we'd call it gracelets. That these are little sprinklings of grace from the Holy Spirit. We know that there are different kinds of gracelets or gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, that is the word energizing, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God who's at work. It's the same God at work. Notice the different, same, that you've got this. You know, as Ben, I think, so well put last week, that the passage talks about our diversity, that God is working in all these diverse ways through diverse people, and yet we're one body. And he says that we get that because God is diverse within himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet he's one at the same time. And so you have that diverse, same, and that comes from the very nature and character of God himself, that he's diverse and same. So what's being said here, though, I think is really kind of incredible. And that is that when we show up and we gather together, the fullness of God comes. That God wants to reveal himself in a full way when we gather together. Not in just a little partial way, but in the fullness of who he is. Father, Son, and Spirit are at work, that God is showing himself diverse and unified through us being diverse and unified. And he wants to do that with us every time that we're together, that God completely and totally involves himself in this. And I'll wrap your minds around this for a minute, because you're thinking, what is the big deal about that? Here's the big deal. The God of the universe, the creator who made everything, who we are just like, we're little tiny things. He's the one, and he shows up here. And he wants to reveal himself to you and I. And he wants to do that through you and I. That's incredible. That's incredible. And I want to say that we have not expected enough. This should set up a whole different set of expectations for when we get together as a church. Any church. Not just us, but any church. Listen to this is kind of how this goes. That each Sunday we come here, we gather together, And the worship team, we're expecting them to deliver some good music. So, you know, electric guitar solo, and Caden gave us some of that. And we're expecting a good worship experience and maybe a song that tickles us a little bit or melts us. And we feel like, oh, that was good. And then a speaker gets up. And hopefully the speaker who gets up is not too boring and not too threatening to our present lifestyle, somewhere in between. And then what we'll end up doing is maybe we connect with some other people around and, it's good to be together and those different kind of things. And then we go out and get some free bread and we go home and watch sports. Is that all there is to this? Is that what this is supposed to be about? Is that what God is promising? Is that what God is offering? Think for a moment. Imagine for a moment. Because what's being set, the table that's being set, is more. It's just more. There's no way that you can read the book of Acts and not see that there's more. There's no way that you can read 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 and say there's not more. There's more than what we're expecting. And God wants us to come to church with an expectation that God will be bigger than we thought. And that he will manifest himself within this group of saints. The I think that we are falling prey to a similar kind of an error that the Corinthians had, in that we're thinking that this is all about my privatized spiritual experience. And it's not. It's about something way bigger than that. It's about something way bigger than you. It's about God. And it's about his body. That's incredible. Incredible. That brings us to the verse that is a turning point in everything, and understanding this voice, this verse is the verse that typically is blown right by to get to the gift list, and this is the gift that determines what's actually happening. Verse 7 says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." One more time. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for the good of everyone." Now we're down into the details of actually what God is doing in our midst. Let's just break this down a piece at a time. Firstly, he says, each one. That means that every single person comes onto the playing field. Not one, not just the person that has a cemetery degree, not just the people who are trained and mature, the commandos, the really uber Christians. No, everyone comes, everybody brings something to the table. It's like a spiritual potluck, so to speak, that everybody is bringing something. And you don't bring the same thing every time that you come. It's not just for the mature or the commandos. Everyone comes suited up. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll necessarily be comfortable every time that you come. In fact, I want to say to you that if you step out and say, "Holy Spirit, I want you to use me," it will be threatening a lot. And I've been doing this for 35 years, and he still puts me in situations that I'm uncomfortable with, that are totally and completely his. They're him. And for some reason or another, he just doesn't care if I'm uncomfortable or not. And quite frankly, for all of you, I just have to say that to you too, that if you want to be used by God, you're just going to have to throw comfortability out the window, because it's just not a criteria that matters to God. And we only have the entire Bible as a corroborating evidence for that. God just continues to call people to do things that take them out of their comfort zone and change the world. I like it. I like it. To each one. So that means that when we get together, that the Spirit of God comes and he sprinkles things around. I heard one author say, this is like the dancing hand of God, that he comes in and he sprinkles things around. And so on one Sunday, different gifts may come, you know, to Alma and to Lance and to Andrew and to, I don't know, to Josh. It could happen with anyone. And God would sprinkle. And that particular week, it would come, the goods would come, and a lot of us would be receiving the goods that are coming from these people that God sprinkled the grace on that time. And the next Sunday, it might be some completely different other set. But it might not be the same people. In fact, I think if it's God, it probably isn't going to be the same people every time, because he really likes using everybody. 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 That's our God. Because he doesn't waste any effort. You think that God wastes any time or energy on you? He doesn't. He doesn't waste any effort. He's not wasted the sacrifice of his son on you. No, he plucked you out of the dirt to make you into something beautiful and useful. The second thing that it says is that to each one the manifestation of the Spirit. Now here's the crux of everything that's being communicated. The manifestation of the Spirit. That is, and the word there for manifestation literally means something invisible is becoming visible. So that means that the Spirit, who's invisible, is becoming visible by the gifts being exercised within a context of a local church. So invisible Spirit becomes visible by people actually participating and bringing whatever God has them to bring at that particular time. That's what this word means. And it's really quite a beautiful thing that somebody, let's just say, you know, somebody brings a prophetic word and the invisible Spirit becomes visible. Someone is healed. What happened? The invisible Spirit became visible by a gift of healing being deployed at that point in time. Somebody you know, gives a tongue and there's an interpretation. Then the spirit invisible became the spirit visible. It's a beautiful thing, actually, because God is saying, I want to make myself known. I want you to see me. I want you to experience me. I want you in some way to touch me. And I'm going to do it through people of flesh and blood. And by them operating in the gifts of the Spirit, in the manifestations of the Spirit, I'm going to become more real. My grace, my love, my holiness, my power, it's all going to be revealed to you, but it's going to be revealed in a very earthy, beautiful way through imperfect people. Now, some of you are like, well, I just wouldn't be very good at that. Well, who is? Who is? None of us are going to be that good at it. Now, this is probably the place where I'm going to diverge from some of the other teaching that's going on here. And I say this for a number of different reasons, but I believe that all of these gifts are available to all of you all the time. It doesn't mean that you can pull them out at will, because I can't give a prophetic word. I can't heal a single person. I can't do any of those things if God doesn't give it. So, you know, I have operated fluently in word of knowledge over a long period of time, and I cannot give a word of knowledge that God hasn't given. I'm just the message boy. So I would give, and like Ariana gave a word of knowledge two Sundays ago, you know, for some people that had some foot problems, and a couple of people came up and got ministered to because God gave her words of knowledge. But she hasn't, not that I know of, had words of knowledge the last two other weeks. It's not like you could just go, I'm going to pull this out of the holster and I got word of knowledge. You don't. You only have it if God's bringing it. And you only have it when God is bringing it. But all those things are available to all of us, not just some of us. My daughter, Becca, is a volleyball player. And Becca is cross-trained in a lot of different dimensions of volleyball. For those of you that are not really all that volleyball savvy, she plays indoor volleyball. That's 6-on-6, 6 against 6, you know, net, ball, that kind of stuff. And a kill is when a setter sets the ball to an outside hitter and they hit the ball as hard as they can and it hits the court on the other side or the face of the person on the other side, whatever. And so Becca has been cross-trained in a lot of different arenas with volleyball. And so she can be called at a moment's notice by the coach to get on the court and he'll say, Becca, I need you to get out there and hit. And so Becca will be put out as an outside, what they call a pin hitter, and the setter will set her, and she will nail it, and she's really strong and hard. Then the coach might say, hey, Becca, I need for you to block. Well, she could get in the middle and actually get up and block against these really uber big girls because she's a white girl with a 38-inch vertical. I mean, that's like, what? With a dad with white man's disease in a serious way. That, for those of you that don't know what that means that I've got, like, I can jump up, like, you know, 6 inches off the ground, and she's 38 inches off the ground. So that's, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Amen. Glory. Wow, that really just took the illustration in a different direction. Anyway, so she can block. She can run the offense as a setter. In fact, that's her primary position. But the coach can say, hey, I need you to get in and settle the defense down, and she can get back in and bump and everything that has to happen on the defensive side of the field. It's just if the coach says, Becca, get in there and defend, then Becca gets in there and defends. Get in there, I need you to hit. Becca goes in and hits. Go in and set. Go run the offense. She goes in and does that. She's just called up, and whenever the coach calls her up, she just does whatever that she's supposed to do because she's been cross-trained. That's what's available to us in this, is that you could be used to give a prophetic word, but that doesn't mean you're a prophet, but it does mean that the Lord will use your mouth from time to time and your heart. But it doesn't mean he's going to take you over and all of a sudden you're just going to, oh, I'm going to tell you what the Lord says. You know, that's not how it works. But the Lord will put something on your heart. Sometimes he'll say, here's the first line. I hate it when he does that. But the Lord will frequently say, you know, I want this thing will come in inside of you. You're like, I want you to say this. And I'm like, what's the whole thing? I'm not giving the whole thing. And so if you see inside of me, there's a big dialogue that's going on. You know, it's like, what? No, 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 no. We have to have more data needed. And then he'll say, here's the first sentence, give the first line. Oh, no. And you give the first line, and then the second line comes. And you give the second line, and the third line comes. And he doesn't take you over. He just feeds it to you, and he says, come on. Be a benefit to other people. This isn't about you. and you're a glove on the hand of the Lord. So all of these things are available to you and me if we're willing to get on the playing field. I was in India probably 15 years ago. And I would just say to you straight out, I do not consider myself a prophetic kind of a person. Prophesying is not my thing, if you will. Other things are my thing. And I'm there speaking to about 500 missionaries and indigenous church pastors, Indian church pastors. And there are 50 of them that are there. They're in a Bible school that are local there. And after the break, the leader of the school said, Bob, I want you to come and talk to our Bible school student. And so there are 50 guys and gals that are standing there. And he said, okay, now you prophesy over all of them, one by one. You know, and my response, I didn't do this on the outside, but on the inside, I was like, I don't do that. And I, you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit's using you, you just have to go, okay, you know, when you take the step forward, I put my hand on the first guy. I instantly saw a river that forked and a village in the fork and a fire that came from that village going down to the other villages that were there. And so I prayed that prayer and the translator translated. The guy disintegrates into tears and falls on the ground. It was his village. It was exactly the context, and that they were going to reach these villages down the river from that, and they were praying for anointing from God to go do that. And every 50 of them, every single one of them, bam, bam, I mean super specific words and stuff like that. I'm kind of amazed myself. I put my hand on them. I have all these prophetic words, and I'm speaking these things, and God is moving, and I'm saying, this is not in my wheelhouse. At one point in time, just as an aside, you know, I'm praying for this one guy, I have my eyes open, and I hear this, and I'm like, what is that? I look over here, and there's a cow right there. This is India, you know, and cows have, like, special treatment. You know, so it's like, I'm not prophesying over you, okay? I have my limits. But the Lord used me, not because I'm seminary trained, but because I'm available. It's because I'm available. And I want to ask you today, are you available? Are you available to Him? Or are you stuck saying, no, Lord, I can only be used this way and only that way. I'm just not that good at those different things. I'm just a little toe in the body of Christ. That's not what the analogy is all about. The analogy is that everybody is important. And everybody's contribution matters. And God wants to use you. That's simply what I'm saying. And so one last analogy sort of nails this down, I think. And that analogy is that you are a mailman. Now, I'm not going to be gender. I'm not going to, because male person, no, that just doesn't work for me. So, but mailman is actually a really good analogy to describe what's happening here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that you have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecies, miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, all these different kind of things. All of these are packages that you get to deliver, but they don't belong to you. The packages don't belong to you. So the mailman gets the mail from somewhere that isn't resident in himself, and he comes and he brings the mail to the recipient of the mail, but he doesn't own the mail, right? He never owns the mail. I've not one time had a mailman come up and, you know, and deliver a message or a package to me and go, I delivered the package. Did you see that? I delivered the package. Look at that. There's none of that going on. You're just a message boy. You just deliver. Now, I don't know, maybe this has happened before, but maybe a postman came in and had a package and decided to keep it for himself. I wouldn't know because the package never got to me. But that's certainly not what postmen are about, is it? No. God provides the packages and you're the delivery mechanism. And the people on the receiving end are the beneficiaries of the package, not the delivery boy. Do you see what I'm saying? This is kind of the whole way that the Spirit works. He said, who's available? Now, if when we came through the door, if there was a little sign with lights that said, I'm available, I'm not available, coming through our door every time that you came in, what would that be saying? Would it be like a strobe? You know, ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Somebody's available, no, no, yes, no, yes, no. Or would it be a continual yes? Lord, I'm available. Pick me. Use me. I will pick this up where I left off next week. But one of the things, and over the years, I've had the opportunity and the privilege of training a lot of worship leaders. And I think the analogy that I use with them is appropriate with this. That when we're talking about leading worship with a group of people, that I want our worship leaders to be both aggressive or assertive, either one of those words work, and invisible at the same time. Aggressive and invisible. That is to say, I want them to come, and I don't know if you notice this, but when I lead you in worship, I'm like, you are coming with me. I don't ask you if you want to come with me. You're here, so I'm just assuming that you're coming with me. And I say, you're coming with me, and we're going into the throne room, and we're going to go and worship God, and we're going to give it everything that we've got. And I'm very aggressive with that, but if you are noticing me or anything, that's completely not what that's about. And so I want our worship community to come out and lead you very boldly and assertively and confidently, and at the same time, with not a single bit of concern about themselves or look at me. Zero. None. In fact, I have a big time look at me mirror, you know, meter going on. It's, oh, it's a look at me. Uh-oh. Offensive foul, you know. No, no, no. That doesn't work. But in this, if you come in with the idea, Lord, I'm going to be assertive. Deploy me. Pick me. And you say, Lord, I want to be used, but I'll receive anything that you want to give to me through someone, but I want to be used. So bring me to somebody who needs what you're given through me. And then whatever that is, I was talking with Linda Engstrom after the first service, and she said, you know, when I'm praying for somebody, I got three or four spiritual gifts that are working all at the same time, but they're not at my beck and call. You know, I may have a word of knowledge and all these different kind of things, and that it may just stop right there. And so then I just pray what I got from there. But I may have some words of knowledge, and then I may have a prophetic word, or I may have a word of wisdom, and that's all that I have. But I'm just delivering the package. So that the person who gets the package gets blessed. And at the end of the day, the Lord is somehow more visible to us. And other people are built up. And we, in some way, are celebrating and invisible. Like, who cares how this got here? I'm just glad it got here. That's what I believe that the Lord is saying to us this morning. That's a start. And so this is going to change your expectations a little bit, and I'm not pretending that this is going to happen all at once, but that when you come, you come with the sign at the door, pick me. I'm in. I'm available. And that's just between you and God. And it finds its target by who, whether it's all of us or one of us or two of us or whatever, that you get to bless and build up that morning. Now, you might be saying in your heart at this point in time, well, but what if I'm really hurting? I mean, what if I'm really not in a place that I can receive? That's okay. Somebody that's available, you're going to be the recipient for somebody that is available. And God gets the glory. It's for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And we get to be the glove on the hand. And the glove can't go and celebrate all by itself and say, look at the glove, look at the glove. I'm a glove, I'm a glove. Look at all the things that the glove can do. The glove can't do anything that the hand isn't doing. Just kind of sits there, right? That's what gloves do. But when gloves are on the hands, well, now they're in full animation. And that's you, all of you. That's all of you. All of you. All of you. I'm calling you up. I'm the coach. Calling you out on the playing field. Let's play this game. Amen? Let's stand up. What am I looking for from you? What I believe that the Lord is looking for? I believe that the Lord simply wants you to ask Him to use you. That's where it starts. Lord, would you use me? I have no clue what that would look like, but would you use me? I'm going to ask you to pray something like that in your own words. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Lord, we simply come before you as your people and we ask that you would use us. We're not impressive in ourselves. We're not bringing anything that's uber excellent. We're not trying to in any way craft ourselves so that we get the credit or we look more spiritual even to ourselves. But what we want to do, Lord, is we want to be empowered to benefit, to glorify you and to bless others. And if you could say that, Lord, I'm available. Would you say that? I'm available to glorify you and to bless others, utilizing your spiritual gifts. Come and pick me.